Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, CPA Paul Gurman. Welcome, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Wayne. It's nice to be here.
It's great to have you. Paul has 36 years, and probably more than that now, of experience in public accounting. He started his career with large international accounting firms, providing a broad background in tax and auditing services. Paul is the founder and managing partner of Gurman & Company, PLLC, and oversees all practice areas and delivery of services at that firm. He also provides business planning services, merger and acquisition planning, tax planning, and business growth consulting services. Paul received his Bachelor of Science degree from Indiana University, and he's a Vietnam vet of the U.S. Army and was honorably discharged in 1971. He's a member of the Virginia Society of CPAs and the American Institute of CPAs, and serves on the board of directors for many civic and professional organizations. He's currently a member of the board of the Philippine American Medical Mission of Mercy of Metro Washington, D.C., and chairman of the board and CEO of the Harry and Zoe Poole Foundation. Paul lives in Fairfax Station with his wife, Jean, and has three grown kids. Are you from this area originally?
I'm not, Wayne. I'm not. I grew up in Terre Haute, Indiana. I went to school in Indianapolis. And after college, I came out here for a vacation, actually, and the rest is history, as they say. I stayed.
You came out for a vacation, and you never went back?
I did. I had a...
Is that a commentary on Terre Haute, Indiana, or a commentary on Washington, D.C.?
No, not at all. Not at all. I had a... I had been to Washington, D.C. In my teens.
Okay.
And I really liked it, and I had a job offer in Indianapolis. And with a CPA firm there.
Sure.
And after I graduated, I decided, well, before I take a job, let me take a couple weeks and rest up and get ready. And I came out here and I happened to bring a suit. And I liked it so much, I thought, well, let me see if I can get a job offer somewhere. So I knocked on a few doors, got an interview or two, and finally got somebody to call me up and say, we decided we're going to take a chance on you.
Wow.
And I thought, take a chance? Okay, fine. That's
take a
perfect.
Chance on me? I'll take a chance on
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. And I figured I'd always go back to Indianapolis and get a job. So,
Which international accounting firms did you work for originally?
The first one that took a chance on me was Main LaFrance at the time. It also became Main Herdman, then merged into KPMG. And from there, I was there for about 4 or 5 years. And moved on to what was then at the time Alexander Grant, and now became Grant Thornton, and was there for a couple of years, and ultimately left and went to a large local firm.
And then you started your own business.
I did, late in 1981.
Why? Why did you? What got into you to take that entrepreneurial leap?
Just that. I've always thought in my mind that I was entrepreneurial, and I knew that at some point in my life I would own my own business. Didn't know it'd be a CPA firm, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 81, I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, what can I do? And what I could do was auditing and tax. And so I thought, what a logical step that is to move in that direction. I had no obligations. I wasn't married at the time. My car was paid for.
Wow.
I had a small house I was buying, and that was it. And I figured, now's the time. If I don't do it now, I never will. So I took that step.
So how old were you when you started that?
I was probably about 33, 34.
That's pretty young.
That's pretty young
for an entrepreneur to start up a business all by yourself. Was it just you? Did you bring anybody with you from the big firms?
It was me. It was me by myself. No clients.
No clients.
Nothing. No office. Nothing. Just a desire and a will. And so that's my job became to generate clients.
How did you go out and start bringing in clients? I know some of the young CPAs and lawyers out there who are listening in the professional services industry are anxious to hear this story a little bit.
Well, I didn't really know how to do it. I had seen how the partners in big firms had done it, but basically they were coming because of the names. They weren't coming because of the partners.
Right.
And so what I decided to do is I would treat it as a job. So every morning I would get up at 6 o'clock, I would open up the Washington Post, and I would go to the want ads, and I would look for people looking for accountants, for bookkeepers, for consultants, for treasurers, for anybody that needed anything that I thought was down my alley that I would do. And I would call them up and I would try to convince them. First of all, I'd try to get in front of them.
Sure.
And if I can get an appointment with them, I would then try to convince them why paying me on an hourly basis as a consultant would be better than hiring a full-time or a part-time person to take that job.
Were you successful?
I guess so. I mean, 36, 37 years, I'm still here.
But that's an interesting approach. I mean, I've never heard anybody approach it that way. Looking in the want ads, and instead of having somebody hire you as a full-time employee, you convinced them to take you on as a consultant.
I did, and I didn't know how else to do it. Uh-huh. And I just thought that made sense to me. And like I say, it worked. It was a long period of time, though, mm-hmm. and I got lucky. I mean, and I think luck is a big part of any success.
You know, luck is part of it, but hard work and tenacity is part of it too. And I'm sure, you know, that has been part of what has enabled you to grow to where you are today. Tell us a little bit about your firm. What do you do at Gurman and Associates?
Well,
Gurman and Company.
I am the managing partner, so I run that. We have a firm of two partners, my partner and myself. We have a staff of about 16 in total. Mm-hmm. And it's general practice. We do auditing, attest services, tax planning. Whatever you would come, any tax or auditing or financial statement needs, we can fulfill those.
Okay.
We also have a company, a related company that does outsourced accounting and bookkeeping for small to medium size businesses, primarily in the government contracting area and nonprofits.
Well, that's good to know, particularly in this area where government contracting and nonprofits proliferate. So if a government contracting firm is just starting up and they need some help with bookkeeping services and accounting services, you all can provide those types of services?
Absolutely, we can. And my people have been trained, and we can get them so they can get in compliance for DCAA work if they like, and we can take care of all of it. Ultimately, the goal is for them to outgrow that, but we're willing to grow with them.
So you help them everything from setting up chart of accounts,
yes.
just the beginning stages of setting up their accounting systems, to actually building their rate structures
Absolutely.
For DCAA and compliance with government contracting regulations.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
That's a valuable service, and there's a lot of big firms out there that do it, but they do it very expensively. So what differentiates your firm from the big firms in the area in terms of what you do and how you do it?
Well, we work on a team approach, and I think what we're selling more so, we figure that most accountants know debits and credits. What I sell basically is personal service.
Okay.
So when you come to our firm, we have a team. You'll be assigned two people, probably myself or my partner, and a manager.
Mm-hmm.
And you always have contact with one of us, and we always know what's going on in your business.
So if I'm your client, I can pick up the phone, I can get you on the telephone?
You can get me, or you can get my other team member, whoever's been assigned to that account.
Awesome. And, you know, it's hard to grow a professional services firm. I did that myself. What's the greatest challenge that you've faced over the last few years in growing and sustaining your firm?
The last few years has been staffing.
Okay.
Finding good accountants that want to work.
There's lots of good accountants out there.
There are. And what happened in our profession, Sarbanes-Oxley, when all that work was being done, the larger firms were doing that work. Mm-hmm. And what they were doing is they were buying bodies. So anybody coming out of school with an accounting degree, they would hire them. And
did that force up salaries?
It did. Absolutely.
Made it really expensive.
It got to the point where we couldn't afford them. And nor could we even get them to talk to us because they knew they were going to the large firms.
Right.
We've had a recession, and some of that has changed. A lot of the Sarbanes-Oxley work has slowed down or stopped. And so there have been a lot of good people available. So the last two or three years, we've been hiring people. And right now, I probably have the best staff right now that I've had probably ever. I'm really pleased with them.
Are you seeing the big firms actually laying off people so that it makes gives you opportunities to hire some good people with the training that those firms have provided?
Well, that's the key. I have been told by recruiters that I work with, but yeah, that some of the bigger firms have been laying off. Either they're losing clients or the work that they're doing has just wound down, so that people are available, yes.
Did you ever have a mentor to help you figure out what to do in your career?
I did early on when I was working for the larger firms.
I
did have a mentor. One of the partners happened to take me under his wing, if you will, and taught me maybe what's right from wrong. Since I've been on my own, no, I really haven't.
So you were on your own at a fairly young age and having to mentor yourself, if you will.
If you will, you learn trial and error, basically, and nobody to give guidance. And that was very difficult for me because I like people to tell me not to do things. Don't uh-huh. do that because that's a mistake. I've learned to listen when spoken to, and it's always worked for me. But trial and error works too.
Sure. Was it valuable for you to have a mentor? How did it help you?
It was. I think it saved me time and it saved me effort and it kind of gave me an insight as to what clients and customers would be looking for from CPAs and what relationships they were looking for. So sometimes a little bit of guidance can save you a lot of time and a lot of energy.
What's a client looking for from a CPA today?
I think they're looking for, obviously, professional services, good, somebody that's good with debits and credits. But I think more than that, I think they're really looking for a relationship. I think people want to know that I'm interested in their business. And it just seems to me that if I can help them make their business grow, my business is going to grow. So it just kind of, it's a win-win for everybody. So I think when they talk to me, they want expertise in a certain field, whatever sure. that field is that they need expertise in. Right. But they also want to know that I care.
But they don't want just a shell answer man so that somebody, they can just pick up the phone and call you when they need you, right?
No, they need guidance. They need to be told no. And you have to be able to do that.
How do you maintain your relationships with your clients? Do you proactively seek them out? Do you pick up the phone, call them, meet with them once a quarter? I mean, what is your special secret to maintaining these client relationships that you've had for almost 40 years?
I think it's just being available, yes. I periodically pick the phone up and call people. And how you doing? And a lot of them say, what's wrong? Am I in trouble? And I no, absolutely. I just want to touch base and see what you're doing. I hadn't heard from you for a while, and they seem to like that, and it works.
I agree with that. It's a matter of just personal touch, and people like to be touched.
Yes,
and they like to be talked to, and they like to be listened to more than anything. Mm-hmm. So you're a good listener, and that's an important characteristic of a good, successful professional services entrepreneur. There are a lot of listeners out here who are interested in starting their own businesses. What words of advice would you give them?
You have to be willing to take a risk. I think that if you're not willing to take a risk, it's not going to work. Don't bother. And risk means different things to different people. I've always, when I have guys, people come into my office and they want to start their own business, the first thing I ask them, are you willing to take a second trust on your home? And if they tell me no, I tell them they got to rethink working for themselves. They
sure.
maybe should stay, be employees for people. And you have to work hard. You're going to have to work it. And then once you're successful, it'll become your life and you'll live that from that point on.
You don't want it to overrule you, though. You don't want the business to become your life so that it's become a burden around your neck.
No, you're right, Wayne. What I meant was that like when I leave my office, I leave my office, and mm-hmm. I don't take work home with me because it's not fair to my family. But I'm constantly thinking about it. It just doesn't leave me.
Right.
I could be driving down, listening to the radio, something will pop in my head, and it's work related. So I make notes. And I follow up with those notes the next day. So it really does become my life. I mean, and it's become my life, certainly. And I would think anybody that's been successful or mildly successful as I, it's going to become part of your life. You live it, you eat it, you drink it, and it just becomes your life.
It becomes a passion.
It does. You have to have the passion to begin with, and then it becomes a bigger passion. It becomes a passion over yours, yes.
What mistakes have you made in your career that you would advise listeners to avoid later on?
If I told you none, would you believe me? I think early on. Oh, thanks. I think early on, I was a little naive.
Okay.
And I trusted people. I've always been taught that if someone hires you to do something, you do the best job you possibly can. You give them their product. They use their product, and they pay you for that service and that product.
Right.
And I think early on, I took that approach, and very early on, and realized that that's not always the case. Not everybody follows that philosophy. And so I think I was naive to that, and I learned. It didn't take long. I used to have to ask for money up front with some of my clients because I couldn't trust them.
What's the secret of your success?
Hard work, tenacity, and a love for what I do.
Yeah.
And just luck. I think I have to have some luck in everything.
Well, we're talking with Paul Gurman, who is the principal partner, founder, and managing partner at Gurman & Company. Paul, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
I think the best way would be email paul@gurman.com. They can call the office and ask for me. My number is 703-591-2000. 7200. They can check our website at www.gurman.com.
Congratulations on your success, and may you have much continued success in the future.
Thanks, Wayne. I appreciate that.
And thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
It's been a pleasure.
People, if you're listening to this, listen next week for another special topic and special guest on Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell. Have a great week.